Waste. Section 1. Solid waste. It is lunchtime. You stop at a fast food restaurant and buy a burger, fries, and a soda. Within minutes, the food is gone and you toss your trash into the nearest waste basket. Figure 1 shows what might be in your trash. A paper bag, a polystyrene burger container, the cardboard carton that held the fries, a paper cup with a plastic lid, a plastic straw, a handful of paper napkins, and several ketchup and mustard packets. Once you throw away your trash, you probably do not give it a second thought. But where does the trash go? The trash from the waste basket probably will be picked up by a collection service and taken to a landfill, where the trash will be dumped with thousands of tons of other trash and covered with a layer of soil. A landfill provides a place to store trash, but the trash does not simply disappear. Where will your trash go when the landfill fills up? What would happen if rainwater ran down into the landfill and leached a harmful chemical, such as paint thinner, and it seeped into the groundwater? Suddenly, the trash that was not bothering anyone is causing an environmental problem. The generation of waste. Imagine multiplying the waste disposal problems that come with your lunch by the number of things that you and everyone else throw away each day. Every year, the United States generates more than 10 billion metric tons of solid waste. Solid waste is any discarded solid material. Solid waste includes everything from junk mail to coffee grounds to cars. Many products that we buy today are used once and then thrown away. As a result, the amount of solid waste each American produces every year has more than doubled since the 1960s. Space and waste. Today, many towns are running out of space to dispose of the amounts of waste that people create. For example, in 1987, the barge shown in Figure 2 was loaded with 3,200 tons of garbage and left the town of Islip, New York, in search of a place to unload its waste. The barge sailed along the Atlantic coast to the Gulf of Mexico for more than 5 months in search of a state that would be willing to dispose of the waste. When no one would accept the garbage, it was finally burned in New York, and the 430 tons of ash was sent to Islip to be buried. Population and waste. While the Earth's human population and the amount of waste we produce grows larger, the amount of land available per person becomes smaller. Thousands of years ago, in the time of hunter-gatherer societies, the human population was smaller, and the waste created consisted mostly of animal and vegetable matter. This type of waste, combined with a large amount of available land, made disposing the waste much easier. However, today, the average person living in the United States produces 4.4 pounds of solid waste per day, as shown in Figure 3. Because the human population and the amount of waste we create is increasing and the amount of available land is decreasing, it is getting harder to dispose of the waste we create. Not all wastes are equal. Problems are caused not only by the amount of solid waste, but also by the type of solid waste. There are two main types of solid waste, biodegradable and non-biodegradable. A material is biodegradable if it can be broken down by biological processes. Plant and animal matter are examples of biodegradable materials. Products made from natural materials are usually biodegradable. Examples of biodegradable products include newspapers, paper bags, cotton fibers, and leather. Many products made from synthetic materials are not biodegradable. A non-biodegradable material cannot be broken down by biological processes. Synthetic materials are made by combining chemicals to form compounds that do not form naturally. Polyester and plastic are examples of synthetic materials. Plastic problems. Plastics illustrate how non-biodegradable materials can cause problems. Plastics are made from petroleum or natural gas. Petroleum and natural gas consist mostly of carbon and hydrogen, which are the same elements that make up most molecules found in living things. But in plastics, these elements are put together in molecular chains that are not found in nature. Over millions of years, microorganisms have evolved the ability to break down nearly all biological molecules. However, microorganisms have not yet evolved ways to break down the molecular structures of most plastics. Therefore, some plastics that we throw away may accumulate and last for hundreds of years. Types of solid waste. Most of what we throw out on a day-to-day basis is called municipal solid waste. Manufacturing waste, such as the computers shown in Figure 4, and mining waste make up about 70% of the other types of solid waste produced in the United States. Municipal solid waste. About 2% of the total solid waste in the United States is made up of municipal solid waste, which is the waste produced by households and businesses. Figure 5 shows the composition of municipal solid waste in the United States. Although municipal solid waste makes up only 2% of the total solid waste in the United States, this amounts to more than 236 million tons each year. That is enough waste to fill a convoy of garbage trucks that would stretch around the earth about 6 times. Furthermore, the amount of municipal solid waste is growing much faster than the amount of mining or agricultural waste. Solid waste from manufacturing, mining, and agriculture. Solid waste from manufacturing, mining, and agriculture make up most of the rest of the total solid waste produced in the United States. Solid waste from manufacturing includes items such as scrap metal, plastics, paper, sludge, and ash. Although consumers do not directly produce waste from manufacturing, they indirectly create it by purchasing products that have been manufactured. Waste from mining consists of the rock and minerals that are left over from excavation and processing. This waste is left exposed in large heaps, is dumped in oceans or rivers, or is disposed of by refilling and landscaping abandoned mines. Agricultural waste includes crop wastes and manure. Because agricultural waste is biodegradable, it can be broken down and returned to the soil. However, the increasing use of fertilizers and pesticides may cause agricultural waste to become more difficult to dispose of. If this waste is returned to the soil, it could harm plants and animals. It could also contaminate groundwater in the area. Solid waste management. Most of our municipal waste in the United States is sent to landfills, such as the one shown in Figure 6. However, some of our waste is incinerated, and more than 30% of our waste is recycled. By comparison, in 1970, we recycled only 6.6% of our waste. Landfills. More than 50% of the municipal and manufacturing solid waste created in the United States ends up in landfills, as shown in Table 1. A landfill is a permanent waste disposal facility where wastes are put in the ground and covered each day with a layer of soil, plastic, or both. The parts of a modern landfill are shown in Figure 7. The most important function of a landfill is to contain waste so that it does not pollute the environment. The waste must be prevented from leaching toxins into the soil and groundwater. Problems with landfills. One problem with landfills is leachate. Leachate is a liquid that has passed through compacted solid waste in a landfill. Leachate forms when water seeps down through a landfill and collects dissolved chemicals from decomposing garbage. Leachate may contain chemicals from paints, pesticides, cleansers, cans, batteries, and appliances. Landfills typically have monitoring wells and storage tanks to measure and store leachate. Stored leachate can then be treated as wastewater. However, if landfills are not monitored properly, leachate can flow into groundwater supplies and make water from nearby wells unsafe to drink. Another problem with landfills is methane. Decomposing organic waste may produce methane, a highly flammable gas. Methane gas is usually pumped out of landfills and used as fuel. However, if methane gas production is not monitored safely, it may seep through the ground and into basements of homes up to 300 meters from a landfill. If the methane is ignited by a spark, it can cause dangerous explosions. Safeguarding landfills. The Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, passed in 1976 and updated in 1984, requires that new landfills be built with safeguards to reduce pollution problems. New landfills must be lined with clay and a plastic liner and must have systems for collecting and treating leachate. Vent pipes must be installed to carry methane out of the landfill, where the methane can be released into the air or burned to produce energy. Adding these safeguards to landfills increases the cost of building them. Also, finding acceptable places to build landfills is difficult. The landfills must be close to the city producing the waste, but must be far enough from residents who object to having a landfill near their homes. Any solution is likely to be expensive, either because of the legal fees a city must pay to fight residents' objections or because of the cost of transporting garbage to a distant site. Building more landfills. Although we can build safer landfills, we are currently running out of space that we are willing to develop for new landfills. The materials we bury in landfills are not decomposing as fast as we can fill landfills. Even biodegradable materials, such as the newspaper in Figure 8, take several years to decompose. The total number of active landfills in the United States in 1988 was 8,000. By 2005, the total number of active landfills was less than 1,700 because many landfills had been filled to capacity. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, estimates that the active landfills in 20 states will be filled to capacity within 10 years, as shown in Figure 9. Incinerators. One option for reducing the amount of solid waste sent to landfills is to burn it in incinerators, as shown in Figure 10. In 1999, the United States had 102 operational incinerators that were capable of burning up to 94,000 metric tons of municipal solid waste per day. However, the waste that is burned does not disappear. Although incinerators can reduce the weight of solid waste by 75%, they cannot separate materials that should not be incinerated before burning the waste. So, some materials that should not be burned, such as cleansers, batteries, and paints, end up in the air as polluting gases. The rest of the solid waste is converted into ash that must be disposed of in a landfill. Incinerated material takes up less space in landfills, but the incinerated material can be more toxic than it was before being incinerated. Even incinerators that have special air pollution control devices release small amounts of poisonous gases and particles of toxic heavy metals into the air. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.